Joy Peterson. I'm recording an interview for Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society at Nancy Ragland Stiller's home in Jefferson County on November 29, 1983. Nancy, do I have your permission to take this interview?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. For the sake of our files, I wish you would say your name and then spell it.
I prefer to go by Nancy Ragland. That's N-A-N-C-Y-R-A-G-L-A-N-D. Stiller is my husband's name. I do not use it.
Thank you. And would you tell us where you live, what your address is?
My address is 1327 South 3rd. We've lived here 6 years.
Your husband's full name, and would you spell it?
Stuart B. Stiller, S-T-U-A-R-T-S-T-I-L-L-E-R.
And would you tell me about your occupation and your husband's occupation?
And we're both trained interior designers. However, the main area that we're doing design in is design and research development for product criteria, product development. That is, we do a lot of color design for fabrics that go on furniture for commercial interiors. We do ceiling tile design, wall covering design, carpeting coloration, and fabric coloration. Basically, we still do some interior design.
And you do that here in Louisville at this address?
We work from this address. All the clients are from out of town. They range along the East Coast, Michigan, and Indiana. Our interior design clients are local clients. The only interior design out-of-town work we do is for furniture manufacturers in their showrooms across the country.
How did you get started on this, and how long have you been at it?
I've been in interior design for about 8 years now. My husband's been in it for about 12 or more. I got interested in it in the sixth grade and always wanted to do that and pursued it in college. My husband started out to be an architect. He really liked working with aesthetics better. He went to the University of Cincinnati. I went to the University of Missouri. I'm from Kansas City. That's why I was going to Missouri. The lead into fabric design just merely came from hooking up with one furniture manufacturer and taking recommendations, referrals from there.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 7 years.
And have you been in this business all that time?
Mm-hmm. We've had our own firm for 7 years. About 8 years.
And where were you born? Where did you grow up? Kansas City?
I was born in Clinton, Missouri, which is about 60 miles south of Kansas City on a farm. My father raises registered Angus cattle. I showed cattle and bought and sold my own cattle since I was 9 and have been completely financially independent since age 9. I had to buy all my own clothes and all my own school materials. I had to put myself through college, but at age 9 I could make a couple thousand dollars a summer.
Because of your cattle?
It's not like that was a real hardship. I had the means to make money.
Kind of a 4-H type thing?
Yeah, we were in 4-H. We showed through 4-H.
And these were prize winning animals that you get this money for?
Yeah, we got the prize money and then we got the money from selling the animals. Mm-hmm. My dad started at each off of a heifer calf at age 9. And if that heifer calf had a heifer calf, we got the heifer. but if it had a bull, that was my dad's fee for feeding all the animals. And three was the limit that we could keep on the farm. So anytime we had heifers producing, we had to sell them. So I put myself through college with that money. Went to Europe for the summer and got paid for my wedding too. So.
Were you married here in Louisville?
No, we got married on the farm. There was a ring of oak trees, about 9 oak trees that formed a circle. And we got married underneath those oak trees. It was different.
What's your religious preference?
Well, I was raised Baptist. My husband was raised Catholic. We now belong to the Disciples of Christ Christian Church. And I can't say we feel at home there. We've been looking at different things recently, Episcopalian and Presbyterian.
And your parents are still alive and live in Clinton?
My parents still live on the farm.
And your father's name?
My father's name is William Burrell Ragland. My mother's name is Mary Helen Bradley Ragland.
And Burrell is spelled?
B-U-R-I-L, I think.
And your
maybe
mother's Bradley is spelled?
B-R-A-D-L-E-Y.
Thank you. And your birth date and your age?
My
don't
birthday.
Say if you don't want to.
It's March 31st, 1950.
You went to school in Clinton, I presume, grade school and high school.
In grade school, I went to a small country school just about a mile from the farm, Shawnee R3. It was an 8th grade school. Mm-hmm. There was about 5 kids in my class. I took the 1st through the 4th grades, and then I took the 6th grade, then the 5th grade, then the 8th grade, and then the 7th grade. Because at the last day, there were so few kids that they taught all one grade and then they taught all the next grade. And I was on the year that was in the wrong order.
I can't imagine. That'd be kind of difficult if you had one math subject that built on another math subject or something. Hmm.
In that instance, it was separated a little, so we got it. When you have 5 in one grade, the teacher only has 10 kids teaching both, so there's a lot more individual attention. I don't think it hurt me any.
No. And then high school was in Clinton.
I went to Clinton Senior High School, which was a consolidated district. We had to pay tuition to go to Clinton. Otherwise, we would have been in Leeton or Chilhowee School Districts, which only had like 30 kids in the class. And didn't have all the college
prepared time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then my parents bought a house in Clinton and we lived in there because there were 4 of us in high school at the same time. So we could go without paying tuition.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
There are 3 brothers. They're all younger and 1 older sister.
What did you take in your courses at the University of Missouri? What were your majors?
I majored in interior design. I did not have to have a minor in that school program. Although if I had a minor, the degree number of hours I had would have been art. I had 12 hours of art.
Mm-hmm.
So
when did you learn to quilt?
I took a quilting class. 1976 when I moved to Louisville because I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a lot of things to do. I was working for an office supply dealership and Stu's grandmother had pieced a quilt top for me under my direction and so I wanted to learn how to quilt it so I had something to do in my retirement years. But I got the quilt done in about a month. Have stayed with it.
Now what was the design on that first quilt?
That was a 9 patch. I made it simple so that his grandmother could piece it. She was probably in her 70s at that time. And I didn't know anything about designing quilts.
You were about 21 years old. No.
Yeah, 23.
About 23
maybe.
Years old. Well, where did you take any classes in quilting? Where did you get your...
I took it through the Highland Community Ministries at the Highland Presbyterian Church from Alice Bandy and Mrs. Bell.
Were you a part of the project around the time of the centennial where Katie was getting people together and putting together quilts?
From our class, under Alice Bandy, is where the Nimble Thimble started.
Oh, it did.
We had decided that we wanted to form a quilt club and everything. And they had lost my number, and so I didn't know that they were holding club meetings until I saw the notice in the paper that the Nimble Thimbles were doing a quilt for the centennial. So I thought, well, I better call this group because it gave the number and said that it was the group I thought it was. So I joined with them working on the balloon.
And you designed the balloon quilt?
I did the rendering for the balloon quilt. Pat Sturzel had already been with the group and come up with the idea of putting the balloons in the sky over the cityscape. And she and Katie were working together on that, and I offered expertise in being able to draw, to render the quilt, and then I did most of the pattern work on the buildings and the bell.
And that would have been 1976?
No, I think that was 1980 or 81.
Oh, recently. I didn't realize that.
It was Louisville Centennial.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
When was the church
country.
Quilt done? Were you part of the group then?
That was at the same time. It was for the same show. But
was
no.
It?
I knew several people overlapped on the group, but
yeah.
I didn't work on that.
Well, this original Nimble Thimbles group that grew out of Alice Bandy's class, how many would there have been?
There were maybe 15 or 20 people. Then I guess they had advertised it in the paper because they came up with several people that weren't in our class, and the founding members. I think Ellen Benito and Mary Pat Carroll were founding members, but they weren't in my class. Mm-hmm. Sally Ferris and Alice Bandy. Only two names I can think of right off.
Katie Christofferson was part of that group.
Well, I think Katie was in the quilt long before we formed the club. I shouldn't say we, because I really wasn't in on the forming. I was in on the conceptualization of it, and then they formed, and then I joined.
Right.
I missed the first few notices in the paper.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be the Highland Presbyterian?
Mm-hmm. Which is where our class was.
Who else has given you lessons besides Alice Bandy when it comes to quilting?
Well, just workshops and the Nimble Thimbles. I've sewn since I was 9 and gotten 4-H. Sewing skills have come naturally. The little techniques I've learned just come from different members independently.
Other than this 9 patch, what do you remember of the first quilts you made? What were they? What types?
Well, my 9 patch was so far my only full-size quilt that I've done. I've done the baby tumbling block. And
was it done specifically for a
all
contest?
Of the quilts that I've made. No, I had started that for a friend. And American, I hurried up and got it done for their contest. Husband informed me that he was my friend, that I was not giving it away.
Which contest was
so
that?
So I still owe a friend a baby quilt.
That was the baby quilt contest.
Right.
They called it Small Wonders or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Small Wonders.
And did it win a prize?
It won first place and best of show.
Terrific. you say that the nine patch that your mother-in-law, was it your mother-in-law?
Stu's grandmother.
Stu's grandmother made, and that you quilted it, and the one that won the Small Wonders Contest, the American Accent, are the only two bed quilts you've made.
Right.
One being a crib quilt. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been wall hanging.
Oh, wall hanging with a little bit of quilting, other techniques as well. I don't consider them quilts, nor quilts for the wall. They're fiber work.
Who in your family quilted?
Both of my grandmothers quilted. My mom picked up quilting about the same time that I did. She's still working on her first quilt.
Is she? Have there been any men in your family or in your life that quilted?
No way.
Could I have the names of the grandmothers that quilted and where they live?
My grandmother, my mom's mother, was Mary Frances File Bradley, and she lived in Calhoun, Missouri. She was probably born there.
File is spelled how?
P-H-I-P-H-Y-L-E, I think, German. And then my dad's grandmother, my great-grandmother, Clothin, her name was Lizzie, too, the same.
Can you spell that?
Tubesing, T-U-B-E-S-I-N-G, that's German. And then my dad's mother, which is my grandmother, Lena Tubesing Ragland, quilted. She died when I was in high school, so I remember her quilting more. My grandmother Bradley died when I was 7 and had cancer, was bedridden with cancer for 5 years. I don't remember her quilting. I have a quilt from her. She got enough done for all of her grandchildren, even the ones born after she died.
Mm. Since you started quilting in 76 and working with, what did you call it? Not just all quilts, but fiber.
Fiber. I consider myself a fiber artist.
Yeah, since
you more so than a quilter, because I deviate to techniques other than quilting.
Right.
Quilting is my favorite technique to incorporate. Then I do other things that come out of the surface beyond that.
Yes, three-dimensional.
A lot of things don't have a name, I don't think.
Uh-huh. Things you've kind of
Trapunto,
evolved.
Free-forming flaps that come out.
That's, for instance, one that we have on the wall behind you. Can you describe that a little bit?
Well, this piece is an iridescent silk background with hand-dyed silk fingers coming out of it and cotton petite-dyed fingers. And the bottom area is a black silk. It is quilted. There's more quilting in that than most of my pieces that I consider my contemporary works. The fingers are shaped fabric. They are sewn on the machine and turned so that they are completely faced. The design motif is inspiration from caves. From the stalactite or stalagmite formation that I saw in Mammoth Cave, with some deviation on that and my own color interpretation.
Since you started doing this, have there been any periods when you did not quilt or work with
There's a lot of periods when I don't quilt because I work full time and I'm going to school. So my fiber work is in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. What is this going to school? We didn't get that, your continuing education.
I'm working on my master's in business right now so that I can better run our company.
And this is at what school?
University of Louisville.
And when did you start back to get more courses?
Well, I've been taking courses out there for the last 4 years, one a semester, but for the first year it was in art. And I thought, oh, this is fun, but I just kept putting off that I needed to take business classes. And our business started growing to a point where I had to get going on it.
When will you have a degree?
It'll take me about 9 years, taking one class a semester. I don't have any more time to devote to it.
Well, at least you're able to put everything into use as you learn it.
It seems like a long time, but...
When you do quilt, how long at a time do you quilt?
Oh, it just varies on projects and my time, projects in the office. If I've got a deadline on a project, then I'll stay at it and get it done. If I don't, then I may just work an hour here or there. And the time I usually work is about an hour before bedtime. And that's for the last 9 months has been because I don't get off work. I don't quit working in the office until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And so my relaxation before I go to bed is working on fiber piece.
Where do you quilt?
Anywhere and everywhere. I have a studio on third floor now set up. But they tend to gravitate down to the TV and to the bedroom.
Where do you get your quilt designs or your fiber designs?
They constantly come from images I see in nature and in architecture and anything I see that gets distorted into something else.
Inspires you. What makes a good quilt?
There are lots of good quilts, and they're good for all different kinds of reasons. I guess I'm drawn to quilts more by color than by design. I am fascinated with quilts that have no design, that are scrap quilts, because they just start to come out, and they're probably completely accidental. And I think that's color first.
Mm-hmm. Why do you make quilts, or why do you make your fiber pieces?
I love fabric. I love to sculpt fabric, and I always have to have my hands on the fabric.
Is it the same reason now as it was originally that you work with fiber and with fabric quilts? Has there been any evolution, any change in your reason?
Well, I think from age 9 all through college, until I got out of college, all of the fiber work I did was clothes for myself or for somebody. Never ever thought about using that in art. None of the art classes I took or were offered dealt with dealing with fiber for the wall. They're just, at the time people started doing it, and I guess it became apparent to me that that would be even more fun and freer than making clothes. And I would make clothes whether I needed them or not, but I just had to constantly sewing. And I'm not an embroiderer. I didn't do nice little samplers for the wall or for pillow tops. I always had to make clothes. I wouldn't even wear most of the stuff I made. I just made something just to have a project going. So when I thought that it could be used for other things, that that would be a more productive use of my time. Quilting quilting was just kind of a rave, and it reminded me of my grandmother's, and I wanted to learn to do it with more of a craft dye. Although it certainly went the other way, and it's gone upward enough that I don't think it will ever die now, because many people are doing it. Then I took an art class at U of L under Alma Lesh, who's a well-known fiber artist.
Can you spell her name for us?
I think it's L-E-A-S-C-H. I wouldn't be positive on that. And through her I saw a lot of different avenues, and that's what I've been pursuing. I don't think that I've really settled into my particular thing yet. I know I like to work in more complexity beyond the quilt with dimension. All the quilting techniques I've learned have been very valuable to me, and there's nobody that really is teaching or doing any other particular technique like Trapunto. That's all lumped into the quilter. What I'm searching for is something on my own.
Just evolving into your own, what feels good to you. You do some unique things. Which do you prefer, piecing or applique?
I do both in my work, my recent work. I think they're both important. I don't mind a little bit of applique. I would get bored to death doing one whole big applique quilt top because it is so time consuming. So I like handwork. So much of it has to be on the machine, so it sits on and something begins to form. I do machine work where it doesn't show.
Mm-hmm. Would you prefer the actual making of the top as opposed to the quilting when the layers are being put together?
So it's all part of the process. One enhances the other. I got bored piecing tumbling blocks. I did it all by hand. Now if I'd sat down on the machine and done it in 3 or 4 days, I wouldn't have been as bored. I did not get bored quilting on it. Quilting, quilting, quilting. But I think that is from the nature of the design. I had to concentrate on those points really hard in piecing and in quilting. I could think about and look at other things.
What do you think of when you think of a quilting bee or a quilting party? And in your mind, is there a difference between the two, and have you ever attended either one?
I've not really heard of a quilting party. I've heard of quilting bees as held in the old days, where everybody would come to help get a quilt done for newlyweds or just to get a quilt done. Now the Nimble Wimbles have parties. That's the only way to contact I can put a party into.
And you've attended those?
What I can.
Yeah.
It's getting sparse lately.
And so you have quilted with other people?
On all the group, Nimble Thimble group projects, I have quilted and learned a lot from quilting with other people.
What is it like to quilt with a group?
Oh, I talk more than I quilt. I probably work alone best, but it is fun. And it's necessary to see how other people do things.
What is a Kentucky quilt?
A quilt made in Kentucky.
Have you ever taught anyone to quilt?
No. I've passed on a few learned techniques to my mother and my sister-in-law.
Your husband's sister quilts?
No, he's an only child, my brother's wife.
Your brother's wife is the sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Does she live locally?
She lives in Liberty, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any quilt books?
I have a few quilt books, and at the beginning I did not want to buy quilt books so that I would not be influenced by other people. I wanted to search my own thing. And then I realized that, you know, I was able to study somebody else's work, but yet inject my own ideas to it. So now I have a few.
And which authors come to your mind that you've gotten something from or that you own the books?
I can't tell you very many authors. I have a couple of Michael James books. I've got a dictionary of quilt patterns, which I like a lot because there's no influence of a quilt design. It's just block after block after block with the names. And that's been a good reference book.
You own any Ginny Byer?
No, I don't.
This is side two, tape one, interview with Nancy Raglan Stiller in her home in Jefferson County for the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society on November 29, 1983. And we have been talking about various periodicals and books that Nancy Raglan owns. Nancy, were we not talking about the fact that you had not only the Quilters Newsletter magazine, but also you had another magazine that you were
mentioning. American Craft Council and Fiber Arts magazine. And then I'll pick up several. Plus all the interior design and architectural magazines will also cover art items. And that's where some inspiration comes from.
When we had the break between the first side of the tape and the second side of the tape, you were mentioning some of the work that you do, and I would like, if you don't mind, if you would elaborate on our discussion for the sake of the tape recorder.
Okay. A lot of, for work in the office, what I have one client into is doing creative fabric displays for the fabric that they have for sale. And this is upholstery weight fabric. And the first display that I did was a 12-foot by 8-foot quilt type display. It was strip pieced and press pieced. It was not quilted, but it was pieced like a quilt. It was a variation of a log cabin, a pattern that I've not seen done, but I'm sure has been done because it's so simple. And that is has gone around the country to the different showrooms and now is on permanent display in the Kimball showroom in Boston. It's four separate pieces because it got so heavy. It was sewn on canvas in a technique that I designed. I laid the fabrics out, cut the fabrics, and the chair upholstery plant sewed them together for me. And it was done all in 2 months. Very concentrated. I worked on that 12 hours a day in order to get it laid out and packaged to send to somebody who didn't know what it would look like and get it sewn and come back to me. Then I finished it and designed a system for hanging it, which is a wood frame underneath that it was attached to freeform. The second display that I did this past year for the International Furniture Show of their fabrics was to take a wool broadcloth, a dark gray flannel wool, and make it into a Victorian swag. Then we took all of the upholstery fabrics that are theirs and made an 1.5-inch welt and draped it through the folds of the Victorian swag. And it was very effective. We're now reproducing those for Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, and then the first one is still in Boston and Denver. I'm now working on next year's fabric display, and is a little more conventional. It's a wooden carved bolt with the fabric wrapped around it, as you would see in a fabric store. And the wood is the wood furniture finishes that they offer on their desk. And the idea that we're trying to convey is that Kimball is also a cut fabric source, that this fabric is not just for their furniture. She could buy it and put it on Noel or Staircase.
It's so different to me. I'm just so fascinated with it. It amazes me. This one that you just completed. Now, did you sew on it yourself, or was this had
did
this have your job
done? I did install it because they again waited till the last minute to give me approval for it. I started telling them my conception 6 months in advance, and then hemmed and hauled around on it. Spindletop Drapery here in town made the drapery, and I went over and learned how to install the drapery. And A1 Upholsters made all of the tubes, which they called monkey tails. And they didn't understand why they were making 200 tubes. And these tubes were about 9 feet long each.
Were they each a different fabric?
Each one was a different fabric. And then I stapled, pinned, and sewed the monkey tails into the drapery. But it went up really super smooth. I was losing a lot of nights of sleep over whether it would go up or not. And it just went up.
What size
like
space did the finished product take up?
There were three of these units, and the swag was 12 feet long, and it was about 8 feet tall. Drapery people have never seen a window 12 feet long or 8 feet tall, because there was no window.
Right.
They couldn't conceive of it not going on a window.
Are there other types of things such as that I wouldn't normally have on my questions to ask you that you could elaborate on, that you could tell us about, as far as projects that you've been into that have to do with fiber?
Well, we're getting into a new range with our fabric design of working with a knitting machine. These are a computer knitting machine, unlike a standard knitting machine that's been in the industry to make wearing apparel fabric. I've not seen the machine, but they do not look knitted on the front side. They come out looking like jackets and girl points and velvet. They do several different textures. So we're working to develop different textures.
All right, that was the phone that interrupted us.
We go to mills, we go to apparel mills and snip off little samples of different fabrics that they're running for apparel, and then we rework them into commercial upholstery. Apparel's having a real influence on the contract market right now. It used to be a couple years behind, and now it's right almost parallel with it.
Where are these mills?
They're all over North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, on the belts of the rivers there. We have a jacket collection that we designed that we're very proud of. Jackets are so hard to deal with. We finally mastered it.
Are you actually making the machine that makes
it? No, we just work with the mill and give them direction of what we want. We don't even handling the fabrics. We just graph them out on graph paper and let them engineer it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a good bit of design on our part. We're involved in the color market. some groups, which is a group that sets the colors for all industry nationwide. It deals with the automotive industry, the home industry, and contract. Contract industry is commercial furnishings, anything that is not residential. That's sort of an industry terminology. The color marking group deals with stationery and all, anything that is colored. We work with them to develop the colors 2 years in advance, and these color cards go out to the members who are colorists for different industries. It takes 2 years to get a product developed.
Well, what's different about this year to next year to the following year? What's the trend? What's coming?
It was just published and I haven't really studied it. Turquoise is a big color that was introduced this year in commercial because it's been in apparel for a while. But I think it'll be a strong color for the next 5 years. Grays will continue to be. They've been a good, strong color for 5 years and they will continue. Beiges are going back to pink. Now where they were very yellow. Yellow has been out of the palette completely this year. Brown is out of the palette. Brown and yellow will both come back in together, I think, probably 3 years.
What about lavender? Haven't we seen a lot of lavender?
Lavender is great, it's very grave. Lavenders have been in for the last couple of years. Those appear to be really strong in the home industry, but I don't think they'll continue to be a strong color for 5 years in the contract industry. It costs so much money to gear up for a new color that color must be strong for 5 years to be injected in the marketplace.
I hear the home quilters go after these old medium blues in the antique quilts. Will they be seeing this fabric come in soon? We don't have it today in the prints and all. Do you have any feeling about those blues?
Well, I think the cotton print industry needs to join the color marketing group and get in with color trends. They've kind of been doing their own separate thing. That's why I think people are dyeing their own fabrics now a little more so. Another reason for dyeing our own fabrics is because quilt makers nationally now have been going around giving dyeing workshops, and quilters have been going to art schools to pick up a little design. It's kind of trends kind of go in the industry. I think the cotton mills are becoming a little more sensitive to color direction.
Is there a time in your business where you would be called upon to help your client manipulate people through use of color?
Psychology of color, we do that a lot in our color work. Consolidated sales company has redesigned their stores with a lime green and a grass green, a very erratic color shade to get people in and out. Most of your fast food chains are very excitable colors to make people hungry and move them on out. Your elegant restaurants where they want you to sit and dine and spend $100 for the evening venue, very calming. The date colors. Hospitals, we have just published color studies for hospitals as to what colors calm people and have different psychological effects.
Would the warmer colors, orange, red, brown, would they be this calming color?
Well, so what you really want to stay primary colors, but are exciting colors. Something you can look excitement in those areas. Most of the colors are grayed and natural, more the earth tones as far as common people. It's very hard to talk about a color. We do not talk about color. We give Munsell color formulas. Their colors. Mm-hmm. And I have to look them up in the book constantly. Mm-hmm.
What do you do with your finished quilts or wall hanging?
Well, I only have two. Because of our business being here, people have come through and see me working on something, and they sold. I've not tried to sell anything, they just sold. Mm-hmm. And so my husband's put a moratorium on that. I cannot sell anything until I get a collection together.
When did you start quilting for others?
Maybe 1980. Say that when I started doing it for others was my first fabric display for Kimball, and then I was working on a project for myself that an associate bought.
What do you do with old quilts when they begin to wear out?
Well, I've got one, and my husband's baby blanket, which is nothing special. It's a blue and white check baby blanket, and the batting coming out of it in place, and I hung it on the wall, and I'm trying to think of something to do with it, and I just left the batting, and the way it is wearing out, being part of the design. I got the idea from Denise Furnish when I saw her renovated quilt in the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Show at the Horse Park, where she had put gold leaf and ropex and bells on the quilt. I thought that was a marvelous rehab for old quilts. All of my quilts are in good shape. Other than that one, they're not wearing out.
What's your feeling about making old quilts into either clothing or pillows or ducks or animals?
Well, when I see Ralph Lauren doing his clothes that are being sold on a mass scale, I know that too many good quilts are being cut up. If a quilt is absolutely worn out in the middle and you use the ends for cute little ducks and cats, I think that's fine. But to just cut up a good quilt, I think it's simple.
Other than your tumbling blocks that you had in the American Accents show, have you entered any of your other pieces in contests or shows?
No, I haven't.
Didn't you have something up at the Kentucky Horse Park?
Well, that was an invitational show.
Tell us about that.
Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society invited contemporary quilt makers to put works in a show. Invited all the Kentucky artists that they knew of, so that's why I was included. Nobody had seen much of my contemporary work until then, because that was really Precipitation has been the first piece that I've had that I even wanted to display. The landscape that's on the stairway there, I feel was class work and would not be anything that I would put in show. Most of your shows, from advertised in Fiber Arts, do not accept class work. They want your own unsupervised work. So I haven't had any to enter, and so I made Precipitation was an idea, and I had the fabric, but I hadn't started on it. So I got going and got it done to put in that show.
And this is Precipitation,
right?
The one that you described with the fingers and the iridescent silk.
Right.
Did you call that iridescent silk?
It's an iridescent silk. It's got a warp blue warp and an orange weft, so that as light hits it from different ways, it appears blue or orange. Silk is one of the fibers that is best to do that technique in. Cotton, polished cotton will work.
You've not entered any state fairs?
No. I probably will never enter a state fair because of the mass of people that go through.
In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting in recent years?
Oh, I think we've seen a major change in the trend of all the people quilting now.
Can you describe the change?
Well, I think the most significant thing is that my grandmother's quilt is for utilitarian quilt, and people now quilt for aesthetic reasons. Quilts have gone from covers underneath the bedspread to the bedspread.
We were interrupted for a moment by the telephone, so perhaps you have something that you would want to add to the discussion about the fact that there has been a change in people's attitudes on quilting.
Okay. Besides the, now that they're bedspreads, I think they're more recognized as an art form for the wall or for afghans, different things like that, as well as in clothing. I think quilting is more respected by men now, and that's been a sociological change in the fact that men do more things around the house, period, and women's work is not outlined in one area and men's work isn't, but that they're overlapping. So I think that's helped bring in more respect for quilts.
What is the value of quilting?
Put a value on something that's so valuable.
Not a monetary value.
I think it's an old world craft that we must preserve. And I think with as many people doing it, as many young people are doing it, that it is now saved for the next couple hundred years. At the time, I really was not, in 76 when I first took the class, did not realize that people were really doing it or that it was going to become a major trend. It's so popular.
There were a lot of closet quilters, I think. They kind of kept it alive for a while.
Yeah, probably were ashamed to tell anybody that they really liked to do it.
Yeah. What are your favorite colors to use?
Absolutely cannot have a favorite color because we work with color so much. I think in all my stuff you'll see strong color. But you don't see a lot of washed out pale pastels, but that doesn't mean that I don't like pastels either. Colors are supposed to reflect people's personalities and
lifestyles. Do you find yourself migrating towards certain colors for your own, to be around? Be happy with and your furnishings.
Well, I pick
your
up more purple than anything. When I go to pick up one color out of a whole bunch of colors, I'll pick up purple and turquoise. But I think I've always picked up purple all my life, so I know that I have a strong tendency there. But I'm just as happy to work in orange and black and blues and cranberries or any shade.
What are your favorite fabrics to use?
Workable fabric, natural fiber, silk, cotton, and wool. Although the very heavy upholstery fabrics, a lot of them were nylon and polyester. I was designing a technique for that fabric. That was exciting because I was conquering that particular criteria for design. If I'm doing handwork, I like natural fibers that are pliable.
What needles do you use for quilting? What size? time.
I quilt with an 8. I tend to load the needle up all the way from end to end, and 9s bend on me. And 7s are just too coarse, so I've been happy with 8.
What thread would you use for your quilting?
I've been using Belding Lilies quilting thread.
100% cotton?
Yes. I don't really like the one that American Accent, so.
What bats do you use? What batting?
I've only played with the polyester batting. I have not done a project recent enough to use the cotton polyester. And I was just introduced to a silk batting that was marvelous, and I can't wait to get some of that.
What about a floor frame or a hoop? Would you prefer to work on for a quilt, and which do you usually use?
I like the convenience of a hoop that I can carry it around and put it away. I can be around the family and friends while I'm working on it, although I like my work best in a frame. And I've been trying to design a frame that is flexible enough to come apart, that tilts like a drafting board, that has a length gauge so I can make it exactly the size of the quilt. I haven't quite got that engineered.
Let me know. How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Oh, I'd say only in the polyester bat. People are still using cotton. People now buy fabric just for the quilt, whereas in the old quilts they were scraps from this or that.
Do you wash your quilts, new or old, or if you did, how would you suggest this be done?
Since I have caps that lay on the bed, yes, they have to be washed. I put them in the washer on gentle cycle with wool light and then lay them out flat to dry. I had put some in the dryer and it almost took all the cotton bat out of them. It was in the lint tray, so I won't put them in the dryer again.
What makes a good quilt stitch and why?
You mean the length of stitch? What makes a good quilt stitch? Well, I guess the smaller is better.
If you ever embroider on your quilts, do you use cross stitch, crewel, or another type?
I'm not an embroiderer. I do have some embroidery work on that piece down there, and I don't know what you call it.
Now, what is that piece, for the sake of the tape recording?
Mindscape.
Mindscape. The one you did in Alma Lish class.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't adhere to any embroidery stitch or anything. I have some embroidery samplers upstairs and they're from her class that I'll show you, and they're all machine embroidery because I just do not work with yarns or thread.
Mm-hmm. Do you sign your quilt?
Yes.
And if so, how do you sign them and why?
I sign Nancy Ragland, the date and copyright little logo thing on the front. On the back I put my name, the title of the piece, the date, and my address, USA.
Do you make your own designs, and if so, how and why?
Other than the baby blocks and the 9 pads, yes, I do my own design. I think I know enough about designing that I don't need to copy. If there are enough people doing copies, I'll leave that to them, and I'll do original stuff. I've developed designs in a lot of different ways. Sometimes I'll just sketch and keep refining and changing it and just have a series of sketches of this one idea going. Other times I'll just have it and start working on this piece. I had the idea.
By this piece you mean?
Okay, on precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
I had the idea in my head. I just started making rows of these fingers and pin the background fabric up on the wall and just started pinning them on and changing them and pinning. Now with that, if you like something better three times back, you may never get back there. But I probably work best in that way. Both mindscape and precipitation have been pinned and designed through that way, with only a concept in my head, not even on paper.
Do you have a favorite quilt pattern?
They're all favorites.
What quilters organizations do you belong to?
Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society and Lloyd on the Newland.
And in return, National Quilt Association, because it's part of your membership in the Nimbus Nimbus. What older quilts do you own?
I've got several. I've got, from my great-grandmother, I've got a Sunbonnet Girl. From my great-grandmother, to the thing that I mentioned earlier, I've got the Flower Girl and the Drunkard's Path. This is one of my favorite quilts. From my grandmother Ragland, her daughter, I've got an Improved Nine Patch. From my grandmother Bradley, I've got the Dresden Plate. From Stu's family, I just inherited them and I didn't have them documented. I've got an Ocean Wave Indian Hatchet. I think it's an Indian Hatchet. I've got a couple applique quilts. Crazy quilts, and they were made on both sides of his family, and right off, I can't tell you which one, looking at them I can differentiate between the two works.
This is Joy Peterson. I'm recording the second tape of a two-tape interview in Nancy Ragland Stiller's home in Jefferson County for the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society on November 29, 1983. We're about to conclude our interview. I was just asking if there were any other quilters in your family that we've not already discussed, and I believe you said we've hit them. And the last thing I would want to ask is if you could tell us anything about future projects that you would like to.
Well, from the Nancy Halpern workshop, I have a project going. I've not worked any more on it since then. It'll probably be another couple years in completion. I try to keep a rule that I don't start a new project until I have one done, so that they get done. I don't have a lot of ghosts in my closet. I like this one. It will get finished.
Perhaps you could describe it for us.
Well, it may be completely reworked from what was happening on it in the workshop. There are five different blocks that are placed arbitrarily through the quilt. The most complex blocks are on the bottom. The block has a diagonal split to it, similar to the way the log cabin splits. And so it's sort of set up like a log cabin, but it may not even end up set like that. It's dark at the bottom, it gets mistier as it goes up to the top. There is little triangles that are very intense colors, purple, cranberry, hot pink, magenta, that float over the bottom. They're really pieced in, it's a flat quilt. Be a bed quilt, in my opinion. It's a quilt. For me, it's a quilt. The top, the triangles get lighter pink, all shades.
Will it be machine quilted?
Oh no.
It'll be hand quilted.
It'll be hand quilted.
I mean,
it'll
hand
be machine pieced.
Be
probably.
Machine pieced and hand quilted.
From now on, now that I know it's accepted practice to machine piece, I will probably be a machine piecer. It will not be a machine quilter.
Right. I misspoke. I have no further questions, but I'd certainly like to give you a chance here to elaborate on anything, or if any new thoughts have come to you, I'd certainly be delighted if you would add them to the tape.
I'm not a traditional closer. I don't even know if I fall into the definition of a contemporary closer. I consider myself a fiber artist, a fiber work, although there's probably more quilting than any other technique in my work.
Well, we're delighted to have you in this Quilters on File project, and we appreciate you giving us the time, and I know your time is valuable. So thank you very much.
All right.